You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. You can go to NewChurches.com, download the exclusive Stated Church Planning Research Report for free, and try out Plus Membership and see the benefits of that. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What?
So today we wanted to do a giveaway for one of our listeners who have left us a review on iTunes.
I really like that we're giving away stuff on my episodes now, because before it was just Stetzer.
Yeah. So I'm being generous here. So
Remember, we said we were going to give him like a sound effect.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Maybe that shouldn't be the right sound effect. I don't know.
Yeah. What about like a Darth Vader one? I am Ed Stetzer.
he's more like the godfather of planting or something. So it would be
because of his beard. Anyway, this review was left by C. Blosher. If you were in Blosher, maybe in Quebec, it's Blocher. Anyway,
it could happen.
Yeah, the title of the review is Informative Resource, and this is what he says. As a student in seminary that is interested in church planting, the thought and insight in the podcast is a great resource for those of us that do not have much first-hand experience in church planting. Keep up the good work. Right on. Well, see Blocher or Blocher. If you send us a tweet, if you send me an email, daniel@newchurches.com, or you know, direct message me, we will send you a New Churches Moleskin notebook, as well as some other swag for leaving the review. So thank you. Well, today's question is from Jordan Springer from Scarlet City Church in Columbus, Ohio.
Are you sure that's not Springer?
Say that again. That was pretty good. That actually sounded Irish.
I'm trying. I don't know.
Hey, Todd. This is Jordan Springer from Scarlet City Church in Columbus, Ohio. My question is regarding church multiplication and multi-site. In multi-site multiplication, does that show that the church is too attached to one personality or one voice to speak on a Sunday morning? So my question would be, how would you respond to that? And if you have any biblical evidence or support to support that model? Thanks.
Well, I do think we talked about some of the biblical evidence in a previous podcast, talking about Paul and Corinth and some other stuff. But
that's episode 2, so you can go back and check that out. Yeah.
But in multi-site, I think one of the important things to understand is there are about 15 different versions, probably more. But as I think I counted one day, it was about 15 that different ways you can do it. So, one way to do it is to have one person who preaches every Sunday. And that certainly is one way to do it. If you do that, I think you are very attached to one voice and very attached to one, personality, and it may speak as well of your style of leadership development.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with that is, I don't think if you were to poll any of the pastors who are speaking every week in a multi-site model where it's only them being projected, and you get in a closed door, you know, in a closed room with them and ask them if they enjoy that or if they think that it should only be about them, I guarantee you most of them are going to be like, no, we are developing leaders. You know, the goal isn't for me to be projected every single week.
I would say
week.
Most, but there are some guys out there that will do that.
Yeah, there are some. But
or there are pastors that will be like, okay, there's only certain messages that should come from me. And I would agree with them on that.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with you having one of your campus pastors do a sermon series or whatever, as long as it's not the vision series, you know, for that year or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, but even the guys who would say, you know, and we'll leave them unnamed, but even the guys who would say, you know, and it is really, you know, you look from the outside and it really is only them every single week, they would respond and say, hey, we are actually developing teachers and leaders in other areas of our church. So we are developing that gift in others, but, you know, maybe for this season of ministry, they are the main communicator, preaching-wise.
You know, in my experience, we had some guys that wanted to preach more. And so, you know, some of them were on our teaching team, and so they got to preach more. Some of them weren't. In both instances, if it was an itch that they needed to scratch, I said, hey, you are more than welcome to host on your campus or, you know, whatever community room you can find at the library, wherever. If you want to do a series on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or Saturday morning, I don't care. If you, then you can do that.
Yeah.
You're free to do that. You can gather as many people as you want. It's just not going to be the main service on a Sunday morning if that is when your main service is. One of the things that Multisite does as well is it helps decontextualize that everything happens on Sunday morning, because we had campuses that didn't meet at all on Sunday. I mean, they didn't even meet on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when you begin to decouple some of that, it really helps people contextualize that, hey, it's really more about the content than the context itself.
And I mean, one of the myths of multi-site ministry is that with multi-site churches and multiple campuses, you don't actually have more there are less opportunities to serve or less opportunities. I mean, that's a myth that people are like, oh yeah, well, because
more opportunities to serve. Yeah, for sure.
But you're right. It's a myth, right? So the idea is, if you were a single church, most single location churches are going to have only one major communicator anyway.
Yeah.
Right. And the thing with that is, where does that person have the opportunity to raise up other teachers and leaders? The beauty of multi-site is, maybe for a season you may still have that one major communicator, but there are increasing opportunities to raise up others.
Well, and you'll see many pastors of, and when you're talking mega and giga churches, a lot of those guys are out of the pulpit at 12 weeks a year, some 16 or 18 weeks a year. It just depends on who they are and what their schedule is, and how they lead, because there are other things that they're doing besides preaching every Sunday. And so in that instance in particular, you do have the opportunity for other people to come in and preach. And then there are plenty of other, like I said, there's other models to where you might have even a group of people that, I mean, this is going even beyond, this is not just doing, this is developing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at that concept, it's like, okay, well, Mountain Lake, for instance, Sean Lovejoy, he had a teaching team, but that teaching team actually processed sermons together.
Yeah.
They went out and taught the sermons. They weren't completely scripted for those guys. It was a process. It was an interaction. And if you think about how you learn to drive, as an example, or if you think about what we would say leads to leadership transformation in our philosophy, underlying philosophy of everything we do in leadership development at Lifeway, is we want to see leadership transformation take place. And that's really an overlap of knowledge, experience, and coaching.
Yeah.
So what he has just done is a great example of that, and saying, hey, here's the sermon that I've put together. Let's all talk about, you know, how to develop it further, how to make it better. And then you guys go out and do it, and we're going to talk about it. I mean, it is a very beautiful thing where those guys are really being developed as individual communicators. Forget that all they have to do is to get over that they're, you know, solely responsible for the sermon each week, and that it's theirs and something that they own.
Yeah.
They can still own it.
Mm-hmm.
Because frankly, they're getting a lot of their sources from scripture, from commentaries, from all kinds of things anyway, and they're putting it all together. So what's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that we have to consider is, I mean, you think about people who, if you are a church plant wanting to multiply and send out another church, well, how are you going to be involved in developing that future church planter in their preaching? In their development, if they're not developed in that way, how are you in your existing church going to develop them and give them the pulpit in order so that they would go and be successful in that plant. It's the same thing with multi-site, right? When a church wants to start their first campus, I mean, to go and put someone who to say, oh, well, we don't believe in video. I'm going to just send Joe Schmo, and he is going to communicate when the church has been really built around, your church. Maybe you're the main communicator, and that's what people know, and people trust you. And all of a sudden you say, hey, this is our church as well. And you have someone that no one knows communicating right from the out-get, every single week, that's not really going to feel like it's the same church, right? So part of it is the leadership development to say, yes, maybe ultimately that campus, which is currently today a video venue, ultimately maybe it'll have more and more live teaching, but it's a part of leadership development. It's a part of a process. The other thing to consider is if you are a part of a church that has, that it's a majority video venue, same person communicating, the thing that I would encourage you to do is have your campus pastors close the service off. Consider the teaching pastor, consider or try out a Sunday where the teaching pastor ends their message 5 minutes before they were gonna anyway. So that the last five minutes before they were going to finish.
Are you suggesting a homily or something here?
No, to actually end the message, right? Sorry. But be short of the application point. And then actually let the campus pastor come up and finish off that last application point.
Closes the deal.
Yes, exactly. Because then you actually, that's a great way to develop their skills. It also allows them to be able to contextualize in their campus as well. And then you could go from there in terms of leadership development. Todd is nodding.
Yes, I like that. That would be fun.
Awesome. Well, if you have any other ideas on this, I mean, this is a broad conversation. And once again, as Todd said, there are so many different versions of multi-site.
It's insane. And people are inventing new ones every day, it seems like.
You're right. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have a question about church planning, multi-site, or multiplication, just send your question in at newchurches.com or you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on a mobile device. And if you can be as so kind to leave a rating review for a podcast, you'd be helping others. You would make us happy. You would even be put into a draw to receive some free swag like C. Blocher did today.
I can't believe you did that.
What? Come on, man. I can speak French, so. Right on. Well, thanks for listening in.